hello, 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 and welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast from top to bottom, where we discuss all issues of black gay male life from the top of your head to the bottom of your dusty, crusty feet. Unless, of course, you get regular pedicures.
Right.
At which point you may just have toenails instead of talons. But all right, I am
and
one of your co-hosts.
Crust and dust and all that.
What was that?
Instead of crust and dust and all that other stuff.
Yes, toe jam, run amok, you name it. You know, it's all wild. But so I am one of your co-hosts, Dr. Pookie, and as always at my side is...
Yes, I am Dark Boy.
He is Dark Boy, yes. So how are you doing this fine morning, Dark Boy?
You know, this last week was kind of a little bit of a crazy week. At work, some person that was high or drunk or both decided they wanted to attempt to drive into one of the buildings. So almost made it. They almost made it.
Oh.
And they had to drive through in between metal barriers to get to where they were.
Damn.
Where they ended up. So very interesting. And then Friday, you know, there was a big tanker accident on the freeway. So the train was messed up. Everything was messed up. So that was an ordeal.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, this is kind of a crazy week. So, you know, me and the hubby are taking a little quick mini vacation over the Labor Day weekend. So we will enjoy that. I'm sore from my workouts. So I guess I'll have time to, because I won't be working out over there. So,
well, you can still actually... Yeah, I mean, you could actually go for some nice walks while you're there. I've done that, and you can even...
It'll be 110. I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. See, I forget the last time I was there, it wasn't quite that warm. Yeah, that part is a problem.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I take back that statement. Yeah, because I think last time I was there was probably in the... maybe upper 80s?
Oh, yeah. See, no. We're going to be in the hundreds.
Yeah, I mean, and frankly, 110 might be a reprieve for what they've been getting over there. It's been crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know.
Yeah. So Palm Springs, you know. Palm Springs it is next weekend.
Okay.
What about you, Dr. Pookie?
Oh, gosh. How much time we got? Ooh, child. All I can say is the ghetto. It has been crazy. On the plus side, my baby sister got married last weekend.
Yes, I was there.
Yes, you were there. Well, they might not know that. You know, our audience. And it was a lovely day. The weather cooperated. It was not, like, hotter than a devil's taint, as somebody...
Yeah.
I forget who likes to say that, but it's hilarious to me because a taint do be hot. And, you know, it was wonderful. You know, I was told I was not, you know, my new brother told me I was not allowed to make toast until I was drunk. So,
okay.
Yeah. And then the wedding planner co-signed on that shit. And, of course, hilarity ensued. I'm still wondering if anybody got, like, video footage of that, because I don't remember everything that I said, but apparently it was, you know, had my grandmother a little out of sorts.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, you know, she's... Yeah, she gets, you know, I'd be like, lady, she be tripping sometimes. I'm just like, I was like, you've heard me say far worse than whatever I said at a wedding reception, but all right.
I know, but this is in front of a lot of people. I guess,
this
right?
Is true.
So that was the, I guess, yeah, that was the difference for her.
Yeah, well, actually, I think she doesn't like seeing me drunk. That's part of it. Yes, I may have to go on a drinking hiatus, frankly, because I've been under the influence maybe 3 times in the last 3-4 weeks, maybe. And so that's like, I hadn't been drunk in, that's like those 3 times outpaced maybe the 10 years prior. So, you know, my brother is being a bad influence on me because he does have to get his sip on. And so does my sister. So, you know, they keep White Hennessy in the house. I'll put it that way. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I had to kind of chill out a little bit with those two. Yeah, but, and then also, you know, just outside of that, it's just, it's been nonstop. You know, meeting with a client, getting some good news there in terms of, you know, projects and old projects, new projects. It's been, that's been some really pleasant good news, which will definitely provide more operating capital for my enterprise, and so I'm happy about that. But you know, a 2-hour meeting became a 4.5-hour meeting the other day, which is just the nature of the beast. And so I kind of came out of that just wiped out, and I've really not recovered yet. I had to drag myself out of the house. Like, I got back from that meeting because we were both sitting there like starving because we, you know, neither of us thought we were going to meet that long, but it was our best meeting ever, I would say, where we were getting stuff done, making some tough decisions. It was wonderful. But we're both sitting there like just kind of like leaning to the side because we haven't eaten. And, you know, I was running on some yogurt and string cheese. And, you know, that's just not enough for, you know, someone of my size. And so that's just, and she was, I don't know what she had, but she was sitting there looking a little crazy too. And I came home and I ate, and then I was on the couch and I realized after an hour, like, I'm not going to move if I don't, like, I'm not getting up. So I did the big boy thing and I got up and, put my shirt back on, and I walked down to the coffee house and I worked. I closed the place down. They close at 11. So I got down there about.
They had to kick you out.
Huh?
They had to kick you out, basically.
Basically, yeah. But there was actually a whole legion of us. Normally, I'm like, there might be one, possibly two of us down there where they're like, okay, y'all, it's time to go. There were like 8 people still in there chilling. So we all just kind of closed the place down. It was a lot. But it was good. I mean, I had some product design stuff I was working on, and I just kind of plowed through it. And during that walk down there, oh my God, there were several times where I was like, I am not feeling this. I really need to sit down. I'm tired. Like, my body was fighting me the whole way. And I said, nah, bitch, keep walking. You know, it's just like, don't you bitch out at this point, you know. And I got down there. I didn't feel great, but, you know, I just got my work done. That was the best I could do. So I was very proud of that. And, you know, so, yeah, the downside is that I'm still feeling quite fatigued. So that's a bit of a problem.
Okay.
But, you know, otherwise, it's just been nonstop. I haven't had any time to really sit down and enjoy an empty house. So, yeah. But that's the long answer. So I guess in the interest of brevity, I shall push us forward into the blacklist.
Yes.
Yes.
This is our list of things we love or things we love to hate, I guess. And we always do, each one of us does a top three. So this week's episode, we're doing favorite TV mamas.
Yes.
So, you want to go first? You want me to go first? How you want to do it?
I can go first.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so I cannot remember the last name of her character.
Okay.
But my number three is Thea Vidal, is the actress.
Oh, yes.
And her name on the show was Thea something. I can't remember what it was, but...
Yes.
Yes, I liked her. You know, I like a sister with some ass and just a lot of love. and she definitely was that. But yeah, that show was maybe on for a season, but yeah, she's
yeah, it was very short.
Yeah, I think it just didn't do well in the ratings, but it was on, it was in was on BET for a hot minute. They, you know, they still run reruns and things like that. So, yeah, she's my number three. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. A little crazy kids.
Yes. We saw her one time at the Laugh Factory. She was one of the people there. Yeah, we didn't go. We just picked a night and went, and she happened to be one of the people there. So I was like, oh, okay. We didn't look ahead of time to say who's there. We're gonna, you know, it just kind of happened that way. So that was good. She was very funny.
Oh yeah, she seems like she's a hoot and a holler. So
yes,
So who is your number three?
My number three also is another comedian. Mm-hmm. This and mine is Miss Nikki Parker. From the Parkers, Miss Monique.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Even though that was kind of short too, I think that was only three or four seasons. I don't think it wasn't those 7 or 8 season show. Not, the Parkers.
Yeah, and I mean they had a lot of material too. I think, I mean they're still running in syndication. I think
I don't see it anymore. If I did, I would watch if I found it, but I don't see it. Maybe.
Yeah, they're still running on some different channels. And I know that they had, what was it? Yeah, I think they ran about 5 seasons, because they had, you know, you have to have like 100 episodes, I believe, to get the syndication. You know, that's where folks are real happy, because they're like, ooh, checks. You know, they're diminishing checks, but they are checks. You know, which are probably keeping Sister Monique afloat nowadays.
Probably, since...
Yeah. You know, I hope that she's able to come back soon, but it seems like she's still fighting her battle. And,
well, I thought she might come back up until she kind of said something about Rosanna that, oh, what are you doing? But that's a whole other thing. So,
oh, yeah. The folks, they have kind of... Yeah, they kind of said, damn, Monique, really, girl? That was...
I thought she had a shred, but then I think that last thing with sort of kind of defending Rosanna, I'm like, okay, well...
Yeah, that was a little problematic on her behalf, certainly. Until I heard on a podcast what it was that she said, or they paraphrased her, and the whole thing about, you know, Roseanne is a comedian, and also, you know, she was the only person that said, you know, that backed me up when I wanted to say such and such on my show or something like that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, and she's like, she's not a racist. And I was like, well, then she's doing racist things at the very least. You know, she's saying racist shit if she's not a racist. But yeah, and I don't know what the status is with Monique and the community at this point around that. I know some folks basically wanted to, you know, officially and irrevocably cancel her and boot her out of the cookout, but I don't know. But yeah. Okay.
All right. Hmm. Who's your number two?
Uh-oh, say that again.
Your number two. Who's your number two?
Oh, my number two. Thank you. I was like, what? Yeah. So my number two, interestingly enough, is the same.
Oh,
Miss Blackberry.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, she was a mess. And so yeah, we've talked about her, so I won't elaborate any further.
But very, Parker. Very. We always have some that overlap. So very good.
Yep. You know, she was just, hey, Professor. You know, yeah, that was,
yes,
that was my stuff. Plus, I love Countess Vaughn, but yeah, she ain't played nobody's mama on TV yet that I'm aware of. So.
She might be old enough yet. Well, I guess she could, but
she got kids, I think. I know she loves hard. That much I remember. She loves so hard. But let me leave Countess alone, because she was being vulnerable with us. I should not make fun of her. Okay. Who is your number two?
My number two is Vivian, the original Vivian from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh,
nothing
right.
Wrong. I mean, I don't know. I like the actress. I can't remember her name at the moment, but
Janet Hubert.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. And I liked her. She's still quite angry over what happened, because it was something she brought up. I just read something like a week ago about her still going off about Will Smith, but I still like her. You know, she's...
Yeah.
She was a good mama. Tough, mm-hmm. and, you know...
Yeah. You know, and she was your number two, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll just go ahead and reveal she's my number one.
Okay. Wow.
Even though she said don't call her Aunt Viv. She is such an extremely talented woman. It's really a shame that her feud with Will Smith and the rest of the cast, I guess, has continued and really kind of snuffed out her career in some respects.
Yeah. No, she said that she has basically no career anymore. I mean, that's basically what she said in this thing that I just read very recently.
Yeah, I haven't watched her video yet. I just couldn't bring myself to do it because, you know, she's just one of those people that, you know, she's a powerhouse. Like, she's a triple threat. I don't know if she can sing. Her voice is beautiful, so I assume that she can sing if she wanted to. But I know she's a Broadway girl, and, you know, you don't get to play on Broadway unless you got the skills.
Something. Yeah. You know, see, and I don't even call her Aunt Viv. To me, she was just, you know, she was the mom. That's how I, to me, she had, to me, I, that's just what I always thought of her as being the mom of the show, not Aunt Viv, but, you know.
Yeah, there was some sort of documentary or Where Are They Now that was done on her, and I thought it was well done because it really presented her and her career in a different light. Oh, wow. Neil Simon just died.
Ooh.
The playwright?
Wow. Yeah.
He gone. I don't know if he just died, but the headline just flashed across my tablet. So folks now know when we're recording this episode.
Yeah.
if they are dying to know, that is. Yeah, Aunt Viv, I just remember when she left the show, because by then I wasn't watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air anymore. And
by the, like, other one.
Yeah, like when the light-skinned Aunt Viv, Daphne Maxwell came in, I wasn't watching anymore.
See, I stopped watching then too. Not because of her. I just didn't end up seeing much with her.
Yeah, it just kind of lost that thing for me. And I don't know if it was because of her or not, but I certainly wasn't a regular viewer anymore. And I remember catching an episode just kind of out of nowhere. It's just on, and I sat down and watched it. And they were all in the kitchen talking, and Daphne Maxwell Reed's character is standing there. I was like, who is that? Like, what is her purpose? And she never said a word. It was just like, I think it was Uncle Phil and Jeffrey talking, and she never said anything. And I was just like, who is that woman, and why is she standing in? Do they have a nanny now? Like, what's going on? And it turns out that was Aunt Viv. And I said, ooh, sister, it's a new day. Like, I just was like, ooh, talk about either, you know, because I know Aunt Viv was really, that was Janet's creation. You know, a lot of the stuff that we love about Aunt Viv, that was her. That wasn't how she was written.
Yeah.
So that was the other thing that was really, you know, really cool about her, where she was just this fierce, and not even just, you know, playing up this trope of the fierce black woman, but just this idea of, like, she's like, it's my house. You know, this is my family. And just... she, you know, she's like, I am an educated black woman, and I got shit to say. You know, it was just, yeah, I loved Aunt Viv, but yeah, so, I don't know.
We both loved her.
We did.
Well, you've already revealed your number one, so I'll reveal mine.
Yes.
Mine is Miss Cookie Lyons.
Cookie!
Yes. She's a mess sometimes. She always is in... I think her heart is always in the right place. She's always trying mm-hmm. to protect her kids, protect her family, make mm-hmm. sure they get what they deserve, all kind of stuff. Now, she's could be wrong. She does, you know, things a little wrong sometimes, or a little bit, you know, maybe not the way I would do it, but I still love her. So, now, I don't watch the show anymore because I just couldn't. I just couldn't. Yeah. I don't know. After the like season, I watched season one and season two, and then season three was like, I started. I'm like, oh, this is, you know, can't do it anymore. But she was still my favorite. You know, she's still my favorite out of any of the mamas or anything. Whether, you know, so it's good. Just good. Just good person.
Mm-hmm.
Good motives, you know.
Yeah, she, I mean, definitely, she was a, Cookie Lyon was a revelation. And, you know, Taraji P. Henson playing her certainly was as well. I know that, you know, some people have kind of criticized her a little bit, you know, where they're like, y'all blowing her up too much. All she's giving you is typical B-more girl. And I've said, well, okay, she's bringing B-more to the screen. And, you know, let's not come for Taraji. She's doing her job. Yeah, you know, folks say they can be a little testy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little testy at times, so. But, yeah, Cookie definitely could have easily been my number one as well. I mean, I think, but choosing between her and Aunt Viv, I had to go with Aunt Viv because she's definitely fresh on my mind with this whole recent video and tirade she went on again, I guess. Something around her son's suicide attempt, so. I was like, wow. So, yes, shit got heavy.
Yeah.
It got real. Okay, did you have any more thoughts on Cookie, or are all the crumbs all swept off the table?
The crumbs are gone.
Okay. I am good. All right. Okay, so we shall slide into our featured topic this week, which is, what is your 5 and 10 year plan? And, you know, from my perspective as a, well, just my personality type, I'm an INTJ. We are planners. We are architects, you know, so to speak.
But this is a 5 year plan for your goals, your,
mm-hmm,
your accomplishments, what you want to accomplish and all that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah. It's actually, I mean, you could think about it as like career goals. It could be a 5 year career plan. It could be a personal life plan. It could be a master plan that incorporates all those elements, or all those aspects of your life. It is basically a plan. So it's kind of like your vision for your life. What do you want to see? What do you want to have in there? For some folks, I know for me, I divide my life up into 4 primary areas, where I have the professional realm, obviously. I have the personal realm. I have the health and fitness realm, because that's just an area where I need to focus it often. Okay. And it just makes things much better. Whereas the personal realm is really more like my emotions and just me and intimacy and romantic, you know, family relationships, all those different types of relationships are all rolled up into the personal. I did have to separate out health and fitness and wellness into its own category. And then last but not least is the spiritual realm, which involves, you know, my place of worship and my personal beliefs and theology and things like that, and just the spiritual practices that I do to get through tough days, crazy weeks, you name it. And so there are kind of de facto plans, goals, so to speak, or just things I'm working toward, where it's not like a hardcore traditional, like, I must get this done kind of goal, but just, here's something that I'm working toward and that I value kind of goals, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So,
now you're far more planned than I am, I have to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I know when I first brought this, I was surprised you proposed this topic off of our list, because I was like, especially when you're just like, well, I don't have one. And I was like, really? You don't? But I suspect that there are things that, you know, when you look at your life, there are probably things that you'd like to have in place.
Yeah.
You know, so that
I just
really
wouldn't
is.
Call it like a 5-year plan, or you know, I probably wouldn't refer to it as that, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have if anything I have or that I want necessarily has a date associated with it, and so I think that's where mm-hmm. you know I'm not as good as some of the other people.
Well, yeah, and I mean some you know, and you have people that will reference things like yes, I have a 5-year plan, you know, and. And it's because they have to, because I mean, you. Oh, let me get my thoughts together here. The struggle. Oh, I tell you. I think for some people, they have to kind of make it into a plan, because they won't make progress on it. It's like until you put some dates, where you create some sense of urgency and some sense of like, oh, this needs to happen. You kind of float along, and maybe you make progress, maybe you don't. Your decision making can be very open to all the little unfortunate habits that you've accumulated over the years, or things you've inherited from your parents, you know, from your community, from your family. It having a plan kind of really forces you to take stock of what it is you value, what it is you want, and why you want it, as opposed to like, oh, well, you know, I'm gonna have the flyest man on the block. That's gonna be my husband. You know, that's kind of like a dream, as opposed to saying, you know, I am going to, you know, I'm gonna go to school and get my degree. You know, I'm gonna go about fulfilling my career goals, and hopefully. You know, because you want the flyest man that looks good and has financial stability and has similar values to you. You can't just say that. You have to actually be ready and in position to encounter that man. Yeah, I mean, it's like you can say whatever you want. I just feel like. It's not always realistic to expect to attract someone that you're not running in the
ready
same circles that they are. Well, that you're not ready for, but also that you're not running in the same circles. It's like someone saying, I want a baller, but
you're not with any ballers.
Well, yeah, you're not even adjacent to ballers.
Right.
Like, so what? He's supposed to just roll into Bloomingdale's one day and you the perfume girl and he sees you and falls in love? It's like, no, you need to be a part of that world or adjacent to it or in relationship with people who are, such that if you do encounter this baller and, you know, and it's like... His friends, you know, he may ask his friends, like, oh, who's so-and-so? Be like, oh, yeah, that, you know, that's my girl. You know, she's a fair sister, you know, good woman. Much better chance that way. But it's not even a whole idea of qualifying, so to speak. I don't want to present it that way, but it's just the idea of if you have a plan, if you have goals in mind, you may not reach them in a time frame that you think you should. Or that you planned, but at the very least you've articulated what it is you're going for and why you want it, and it will impact your decision making that will get you closer to it. You know, so it's like for me, well, no, I've been talking. Did you have anything to say?
It's like, no, okay. this is good because, you know, it's helping me learn because...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, so like for me, when I, you know, when I really looked at my business and said, you know, I'm tired of this. There were just some aspects of my business that really weren't serving me anymore. And so I had to recalibrate and really figure out, well, okay, this is my livelihood. This is the enterprise I've chosen for my life and my career. And I've always planned to do it, but it's not going to look like what I initially had in mind anymore. So what is it going to look like? What's it going to feel like? How's this thing going to work? And for a while, I wasn't making, in my opinion, the most affirmative decisions because I was making them without a real plan involved. You know, it's like you can say, I want to be a millionaire. And it's like, well, okay, how is that?
How are you going to be a millionaire?
Yeah, doing what? What's somebody going to pay you that kind of money to do? And unless you really have an articulated understanding of what it is you're going to do to become a millionaire, you're probably not going to become one. Because you're just out there doing stuff. There's no real direction. There's no real plan. There's no rhyme, no reason. There are going to come points where you have to make some decisions and decide whether you're going to pursue certain opportunities. And you have to understand why you would say yes or why you would say no to them. And
so if somebody has the, say they have a plan where they want to be a millionaire, should that plan include a timeline? I mean, that's okay.
Yeah, even if you don't hit the timeline, yes, because it keeps you focused. I always feel like urgency is a really important factor in how we go about our lives and what motivates us. Some people have those engines that never stop running, like they are just maniacal in their focus, and I applaud them. That's not me in a default setting. I can get there if I need to, but I usually have to have a good reason. And when I'm very clear about what that reason is, then I get there. But some people are able to just get into that full throttle overdrive mode, and it's just like, get out of their way, because they will run you over.
Yeah, or run you down.
Yeah, I mean, that was me with my dissertation, you know, my doctoral thesis. I finished the thing in 4 months because I was like, I have a very clear goal. I'm graduating this summer. I'm walking out of this town with all my paper, and I'm not coming back unless I want to come back. I don't want to have to come back here. I would love to come back and visit, but I'm walking out of here as Dr. Pookie. And I'm not leaving here without that. And I'm also not coming back here to graduate later. I was very clear about that. And so I said, all right, let's get into it. And, you know, I finished that thing, and it was quick, and it was lovely, and it was a fun time in my life, because...
And you didn't have to go back, right?
I walked. I officially graduated. You know, my advisor told me it wasn't going to happen, but she said she'd perform at my level if that's what I wanted to do. She had my back. She didn't really have my back because she wasn't capable of it at the time, but we finished nonetheless. And so, yeah, I mean, for me, I was able to go up to that next level because I had a timeline in mind. I had a deadline. You know, that dissertation had to be in by July 6th, 1999. And I got that hoe in July 6th, 1999, at about 3:06 p.m., if I remember correctly.
Okay. You had to know the time.
I knew the time, because, we had printing drama. I'm sitting there, like, final edits are done. I'm just like, I just went into the lab. Let me roll through here right quick and print this bitch out and get it in. That became like a 3-hour ordeal, because my page numbers wouldn't print correctly at a certain point. So the last 80 pages, I had to print them out one at a time.
Oh, my gosh. I had to go in
and adjust the page number for each one and print it. That, test of patience. But even then, once I got past the initial, what is wrong here? I was cool. Because I gave myself plenty of time. I got there at what? Maybe 11:45? Yeah, about noon I got there, because the lab tends to clear out at noon. People go to lunch. And I said, well, I guess this is the last part of the struggle. So let's get into it. And I just
at the
sat
very
there
end.
Yep, there's always, you know, a rock or pebble that's in the way, blocking your smooth path. And so I just said, okay. So for me, and I guess the point I want to make here is that because I had a very clear goal and plan in mind, I was in that lab with 5 hours to print if I needed it to account for any calamity that might go down.
Yeah.
Ordinarily, I probably would have failed through there about three, you know, be like, oh, I just got to print this. It's like, no, you're going to be there early. And the best time to go is now.
And sure enough, you did have problems.
Yeah. And I had 3 hours worth of problems. And I was able to slide on over. You know, I got there earlier than I would have normally. I kept my wits about me. I didn't get angry. I was a little exasperated, yes, because I was like, what is going on? Like the first 3-4 times I tried to print and stuff was fucked up. But I stayed cool. I talked to one of the people and they couldn't figure it out. So I just said, you know what? I'll just print them out one page at a time. And they said, oh, okay. I was like, thank you for your help. I appreciate it. And, you know, and I sat down and I went and I printed that bitch one page at a time. It's like the last 85 pages, I believe. Something like that. 85, 86.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was just, it was painful. Because I was like, damn it, you know, I didn't get to eat lunch. This was going to be a quick, let me print this bitch out, drop it off. I'll be eating lunch by one. No, that's not what happened.
You just had to go to dinner afterwards, basically, right?
Yeah, and I mean, and the other part, and this is the part about not having a plan or like not really not working in accordance with your plan. That was my 5th year in my doctoral program, which is not unusual. You know, doctoral can take 5 years, particularly if it's a master's PhD program. However, in the 4 years prior to that, I was like, oh, well, I'm here to get my PhD. But I wasn't behaving and making decisions in alignment with that goal. So all of my closest friends, like my crew that I hung out with, they had all left. They
oh, really?
All graduated. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, when it was time to celebrate, like, I'm done, there wasn't nobody to celebrate.
They had already rolled up.
Yeah. And it's not to say that there weren't other people around, because there were other people around that, you know, that were really wonderful people. But I don't remember... Maybe my neighbor, who graduated at the same time I did, because we lived, you know, he lived right across the courtyard from me, and he was kind of part of the crew as well.
Okay.
We kind of, you know, celebrated a little bit. I believe there were a couple of bottles of wine involved, but I could have celebrated with the remnants of my crew. You know, they all were there the previous year. Two of them got masters, so they came in a little after I did, and then one of them also came in with me, if not the year before, and she was working on her doctorate, and she graduated the year before I did. So it was, you know, so the consequence of me not making decisions in accordance with what I said was my goal, or, you know, was that it wasn't what it could have been. I feel
so
like
should mm-hmm. people write their goals down, like have it written down somewhere, or
mm-hmm. written down okay. somewhere you can see
post
them.
It up.
Yep, mine are. I had my goals at one point as my screensaver, as my background on my computer screen.
Okay,
and I have double monitors, so I was being hit by it twice. And in the background, I had a house that I would love to have bought.
Okay.
You know, it's like, hey, you do these things, you can afford this. And that was, you know, that was what my stuff looked like. I just had like an overlay, like the house in the back, in the background, and I had like a light, a translucent white overlay with that, with the goals in black text. So they were very visible, but I could also see the house. But the thing that was missing from that was a date.
Okay.
You know, it just said goals for, you know, X year. But there wasn't a clear overall plan attached to that. There were no deadlines, per se. I really hadn't gotten into the why, which is really important.
Why you wanted that house or why you wanted to?
Yeah. Why, okay. You know, it's like the house was the why, but it's like, but why you want the house? You know, it's just, and I mean, and this is, I've encountered people that don't need to dig that deeply into a why, but for me, I need to dig that deeply. Because there are so many other options, and sometimes I am quite content to just sit on the couch and do nothing in particular, TV or no TV. So if I have a choice and the road is hard and I don't really have it to give at that moment, I can be
You're going to be the couch.
Yeah. You know, so I think that having those goals in mind is good. You know, writing them out, having them somewhere where you can see them. I know people that put their goals next to the bathroom mirror. They see them every morning. It could be affirmations as well. Some people put affirmations up there. But I know some folks that put their goals, tape them on the wall next to the medicine cabinet, tape them in the upper corner of the medicine cabinet because they're short and it's not interfering with, you know, them being able to see themselves in the mirror. You know, some people wake up in the morning and they're on a piece of paper or they're in the front page of their journal, the inside cover of their journal, and they read them every morning before they get out of bed. They read them every night when they get in bed. It's all about keeping in touch with what you want to do and why you're going to do it.
I have a question. I have mm-hmm. one question. So, yeah. So I know for me, like, okay, so I've done kind of a similar thing that you did, like with the computer, you know, mm-hmm. where you have like something as your background or wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing that I do, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that does this, is that once it's there, then after a while, it becomes part of the background, and then you don't really even see it anymore. It's you're so used to seeing it that you're not seeing it. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes perfect sense.
So should you change it? Should you update it every once in a while? Or, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
What you can do, what I did, well, actually, I don't know. Did I hit any of those goals that year? I may have hit one. What I did was when I accomplished a goal, I would actually redo it and just strike through the text.
Okay.
So I would basically recreate the document in Microsoft Word and then convert it to an image file. But I would take whatever goal that was achieved and I would strike through it. So it would be like, oh, it's crossed off the list. I would also reformat it to where it might look like a checklist. So I could put a check in there, or I could see the box was unchecked next to the three items. You know, you don't want to have, you just want it to be a reminder of the overarching goals. You may have a plan that's far more detailed with all those little steps that have to happen, short range, medium range, long term goals that are laid out elsewhere, but you want to have it in your face on a regular basis. If it does start to get stale and blend into the background, so to speak, Yeah, then you probably want to change the image or change the way it's formatted, change the font. You may want to I know one time I changed mine where I shrunk the font down a bit on the goals and put them on the right half of it. And I put some affirmations and some statements basically saying what I would say, what I would think if those things are already done. Because some schools of thought will tell you don't write your goal as, oh, I want to own, you know, a 4-bedroom house in this suburb or this subdivision. They would say to you to write it as, I own this 4-bedroom house in this subdivision.
Okay, so you're already, okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's like if you already, quote unquote, have it, then you know, then you're going to start living in alignment with it. You know, you're going to restructure your budget to where you can pay that mortgage. So instead of you at this point paying that mortgage, you're putting the money aside for the down payment, which will eventually become payments toward the mortgage.
Yeah. Okay.
You are, you know, you're taking greater pride in, you know, it's like if you want to have a lawn, you know, jack about it. So you have to decide, do I want to learn how to maintain a lawn or do I want to write that check? Can I write that check? And you revisit your budget again. And you basically start preparing for it, just like we talked about before, preparing for that ideal man that you said you wanted. It's all about preparation and practice and visualization. You know, so it's like, okay. For me, yeah, when I was thinking about like restructuring my business, which was a major, I mean, I have been doing this since 2001. So you're talking about 14, 15 years of work that I'm basically contemplating cannibalizing. Just saying, okay, I'm shutting this down. I ain't doing this no more, blah, blah, blah. And I never really got around to a meaty enough why until I found that I wasn't making the progress that I thought I should be making. And then I was like, what is the problem here? And the problem was I didn't really have a very substantial reason for all of it. So it's like, say the business is reformatted, you know, restructured, and I'm making this kind of money at this point. Why does that matter? I never really answered that question. And so it's like, it basically was, I'm very much a what next kind of person. So I won't even honor what I've accomplished. I'm just like, okay, what's next? Because I haven't done
this yet. You're focused on the next thing already.
Yeah. I'm not smelling flower to first. I'm just like, well, I ain't got time to be dawdling and resting on shit that's already happened. And it's like, no, you do need to actually do that. Something my therapist told me. He's like, no, you do need to actually celebrate the shit you do. It's not all about what's next. But it's, for me, it became, okay, so you're now running this business. You're at this revenue level. What are you doing with that money? Why do you need it? Why do you want it? And I realized, oh, okay, this is why I want that money. Obviously, I want to buy. Actually, I don't want to buy a house. I want to have my own home built, custom.
Well, very ambitious.
Oh, yes, I'm that kind of hoe. That was the first thing. But also, I wanted to invest in real estate. I appreciate residual income. I don't want to work that hard every day for the rest of my life. So if I can do something that's going to generate money for me while I'm asleep, money for me while I'm on vacation, money for me while I'm sitting on the couch looking crazy, yay, mission accomplished. So I really realized I wanted to make that money to invest in houses, you know, also to partner with my younger sister because she wants to do some things with a nonprofit that will require property, residential property. So I want to be able to partner with her to do that. And it's not to say that she can't do it on her own, but if I can help her in some way and it's a win-win for both of us, why wouldn't I do it? You know, I don't know if I'd make any money off of that venture with her, but I don't need to because I have these other properties that are making money for me. And I want to be able to take care of my mother in whatever ways that she needs it. If she needs a full-time nurse at the house, then okay.
You would be the nurse.
Well, actually,
or would you be paying for the nurse?
I would be part of the nursing corps. I would be paying for some people to come in and help. And, you know, that house that I want built, she would design her suite or her wing of it. You know, so she's comfortable. So it's not like she's living, you know, in my house and she should be grateful. It's like, no, this is our home. You design the space that you want. This is your dream as well. Where I can basically say, okay, well, here's the land. Here's the builder and the designer. You need to go talk to them. Let them know what you want. You know, and it's not so much like, oh, I'm playing Big Daddy, as much as I'm like, no, I'm doing for my mother what she did for me.
Well, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, you know, and it's just, that's a hell of a why. You know, that's the kind of why that can push you through days and weeks like I just had. You know, it just keeps you grounded. And it also, for me, helps to maintain my sense of ethics, because, you know, having some money is wonderful, but if you didn't sold your soul to get it, making bad decisions or decisions that aren't consistent with who you are or how you see yourself.
Yeah, or if it gets you in trouble or anything.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I've always felt like I want to make my money, but I don't want to look over my shoulder when I'm doing it. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that whenever I meet people, because I meet folks on planes, trains, and strange automobiles, so to speak, you know, and I'm a business consultant. So if I know you have a business, I automatically go into coaching mode with you, even if you're not paying me, because I'm just intrigued to see what people are up to. Not so much to steal their idea, but to be inspired. You know, it's like, oh, wow, I had never thought about that way. How can I add, you know, that to my life? I've encountered people on airplanes, you know, because I go to the East Coast several times a year. There's always somebody I end up sitting next to, and they're having an issue. And I'm just like, well, have you ever thought about trying such and such? You know, and they're like, no. Now, who are you again? What do you do? It's like, you know, it's like, what I do is what I just told you to do. It's like, I help you solve problems. I inspire, you know, I try to give you ideas. And it's up to you whether you're going to take them. But, yeah, I don't know. So that is, hey, yeah.
One thing. Now, should people, so you talked about writing the goals down, but then I also saw a thing where it said that we should, and I don't know what they call it. I don't know if they call it a goal board or a visual board or something where you kind of put.
Well, probably a vision board.
Vision board. That's what it is. Yes. So do that also, you know, so write your goals down, or maybe put your goals on the vision board, or maybe the picture of the house you want, or the type of house you want. Is that okay?
Yeah, my screen wallpaper was basically a hybrid, you know, goals, vision board kind of deal. Because I would try to imagine myself at the end of a day going out on my deck and sitting next to my infinity pool, you know.
Overlooking.
Yeah, just
overlooking
out.
Something.
Overlooking the mountain, you know, and just chilling. And just how would that feel? And just knowing that I did that shit. I think that's the other part of it. It's sometimes it becomes a contest that we play with ourselves where it's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna set this really outrageous goal. Now, can I really do this shit? Probably. Let's find out. You know, I'll tell a client in a minute who's starting to doubt a goal. I was like, no, you've said it. You've put it out there. I now know. Too late. You can't turn back now. Let's get on this shit. You know, and it's usually around their business, but, you know. But definitely, vision boards can be very helpful.
Okay. I would also think that maybe going out of your comfort zone might be part of that too, or no? Like maybe doing something that maybe you weren't 100%, you're a little bit afraid of or scared of, but I mean, should that be part of it too? I'm imagining it would be.
Yeah, that's where the plan, that's where having a plan comes in mind really helps, because it'll push you outside of your comfort zone because you recognize there's no other way to get this done. You know, I'm an introvert who talks a lot. So a lot of people don't realize I am an introvert, but I am. But everything in my profession and in my career requires me to talk in public. Sometimes not as prepared as I'd like to be. And I'm pushed outside my comfort zone every day in every meeting. Every time I teach a class, I'm outside my comfort zone because I'm like, I didn't have enough time to prepare this, or this isn't the way I want it, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm having to just suck it up and go in there and, you know, the lights are on, time to perform.
Okay.
I think that having a plan, I do an exercise with clients called the Big Why, which really helps you to kind of drill down to why are you trying to do all this? Because none of this shit is easy. So why are you trying to do it? Because that'll remind you and impact your decision making when the road gets tough or where you're just kind of lost, not quite sure anymore, so on and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it definitely, yeah, anything worth doing, anything big, even launching this podcast, it took me a year and a half before I launched it. It probably took me kind of whispering to two sisters in a hotel lobby in New Orleans in summer of 2017. Hey, I'm thinking about doing this podcast on this topic. Would you guys listen to it? And they both looked at me like, after they lowered their cocktails from their lips, and said, hell yeah, you funny as hell. And I said, okay. But we didn't launch this thing until this year.
Right.
You know, so I mean, it was comfort zone. Because it's like you open your, you know, to do something like this, you open yourself up to the world's bullshit. People's assessment of you and the pettiness on the internet and the shade. And, you know, and it's like, hey, you know, and I was just like, you're a big boy. You have something to say. People have given you the feedback like, no, we want to hear from you. That would be wonderful. You should do that. Okay. Let me find the right pair of big boy drawers to put on, and I will be at the party. We're at the party. Okay. Where's my drink? You know? I think that I think if I could leave anyone with anything in this discussion, well, more like monologue, but yeah. I would say understand what it is you want. So have a vision for your life and understand why it's important to you and why it must happen. Got those two things? You're good.
Okay.
You got a good foundation to work from. If you don't know why and the what is kind of fuzzy, you ain't getting nowhere. You're gonna be whatever someone else wants you to be. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe that is, you know, husband and father of the year. And there's no shame in that. If there is something else that you want to add to your life, you're gonna have to be uncomfortable. It's just like losing weight, you know, writing a book, a mutual friend
doing
of ours,
this training, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're uncomfortable.
I'm in pain right now, let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember when I was working with my trainer, I'd be like, shit, I don't want to go in and do this shit today. And then I think about, okay, I was like, now you know, once you get in there and you get going, you'll be fine. You won't even feel the pain you're feeling right now. You'll probably feel better, you know. And sometimes you know that's some bullshit, but it gets you to move. You've now made some forward progress, and you're committed now, so let's just get this shit over with. And I'm sure you probably get to that point with going to your appointments. Like, let me get this shit over with. I'm here. You know, as opposed to, oh, I can't wait to work out today. How many times you say that? I can't wait to work out.
You know, it's more in the middle, I would say.
Okay.
You know, once I'm there, well, see, because now I see him early in the morning on Saturday, my trainer. Mm-hmm. And so I am motivated to go. And even though it's tough and I'm there, I would still say it's in the middle. I'm not like super, super excited, but I'm like, oh my God, I need to get this over with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was seldom excited to go see my trainer. But just, and I loved him as a person. You know, rest in peace, brother. I loved him as a person. He's a great guy. Yeah, he's funny. I'd always be like, what you wearing today? Because he had like a little contract where he would promote clothing lines. You know, they do that with a lot of trainers. They were like, oh, do you go out? Okay, well, you know, can we give you a little change to wear our clothes when you're out? And so he would do that. So he was collecting checks from all over the place. And he was, I remember once he was training me and he was asking me like, he says, I'm thinking about letting this thing go because this stuff is ugly. And I said, well, okay, now you do have a Beamer out there that you got to pay for, first of all. I said, second, don't you have a child on the way or that you want to have coming soon?
That you want to support?
Yeah, I said, so I was like, perhaps you might let them have the benefit of your knowledge and expertise as someone in the target market they're trying to influence. Tell them their shit is ugly and that they need to make some design changes. Ask if you can talk to the design team. I was like, don't fuck up your check. You know, and he kind of was like, oh, hadn't thought about that. You know, he was just like, well, damn, that makes sense. I said, yeah, don't fuck up the money. Just tell them this shit is like you're not getting good feedback on the street or in the club.
That's probably why they wanted him to wear it in the first place. Exactly. So might as well do it.
Yeah, I told him. I was like, dude, they approach you to wear their shit because they want it out there. And they don't... These folks don't have access. They don't go to the places you go to. They see you and they're like, he's our ideal customer. I was like, you are their customer and they're paying you to be it. Be a customer. Have an opinion. And that's what he did. And, you know, they ended up designing some better shit for him to wear. And they would routinely ask for his input. And, you know, to me, it was kind of a no-brainer. But, again, if you don't understand what you bring, you don't understand why you're bringing it, you don't know you got it. He had an eye. He knew, even if he had no eye for fashion, the people he was trying to influence with these fashions were like, dude, that shit, I don't want to be caught dead in that. Well, what's wrong with it? Well, this color is all fucked up, and you know, because they would give him whole outfits to wear from, you know, from head to toe. So they had shoes. You know, he wore his own drawers, but they had shoes for him to wear. You know, they put the whole look together. And they'd be like, nah, dude, them shoes ain't right. You know, and he would look at him and be like, this is looking crazy. You know, and so, and if stuff looked good, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's not my style, but I could see that working. You know, and he kind of looked at me and kind of grinned. I was like, that's how it works, dude. Don't never forget. That's how it works. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, that's just me again. doing what I do. I see somebody that needs help, or that's banging their head up against a wall, and I'm like, hey, what have you thought about? And I spring into action. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's why I put this topic on our list. Just the idea of, well, what do you see for your life? And I know a lot of younger folks and older folks at that, for that matter, don't really have a plan. They're just going about daily life, rudderless. They're stuck. They're unhappy, but have no clue as to how to get unstuck and what it's going to take, because they haven't thought it through at all. So think it through. Dream. Yeah. Got an ebook coming out on that soon, by the way.
Okay, good.
You know, yeah, just, you know, it's a freebie. So, you know, we won't give away the farm, but yeah. So it's a business philosophy that you can apply to your life as well. But okay, we have, we are 6 hours, not 6 hours, 6 minutes.
6 hours.
Ooh, Lord, that'd be rough.
That'd be rough.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a little challenging. So we are 6 minutes past our total episode time, so we're going to get on over to
the barista.
Asking the barista some things. Yeah.
Yes.
So if you're tired of my voice, I'm so sorry. I have to talk again. But we will let Dark Boy answer first. How's that? Okay.
Yes, that's a plan.
So, yes, so our question comes from Dear Jolene, and that's okay, the name Jolene. She gave herself. Yes, Miss Jolene. She is about, she's contemplating embarking on a long-term, goodness, wow, this headache is wearing me out. She is, okay, she says here, hey guys, I met this really cool guy online, and, you know, it started out as us chatting, and it moved on to, you know, some flirtation, and I really kind of like him, but I'm concerned about being in a long-distance relationship. Do you have any advice for me on whether I should do this, and, you know, what are some tips to kind of make a long-distance relationship work? So what do you have for Ms. Jolene?
Well, I would say, no, I have no experience with long-distance relationships. But I do seem to hear a lot of people that have them, and they do make them work. I think, my personal opinion, I think she should at least try it. I think she should see, especially if she hasn't done it before. Again, this is kind of what we were talking about earlier, kind of going outside your comfort zone, you know? I imagine that the major, major thing with a long-term or long-distance relationship is communication, you know? You got to be in contact because, you know, you don't have that daily interaction. So the only thing is either on the phone or email or texting or something. So, but I do think she should try it and see, you know, see where it goes. You know, if it doesn't, if long distance just is doesn't work for you, then it doesn't work. But at least you've tried it, you know it, and you know for the future. I mean, that's kind of basically my whole answer right there.
I think you hit all the major points there too. I guess going with the theme of having a plan and a vision, do you see yourself, or do you see this guy in your future? Does he fit? Not just who he is and what he might be bringing to you, but in terms of the life that you envision for yourself, do you see him being a part of that? If you do, and you want him to, then I'd say go for it. You are wise to ask the questions about, okay, so if I go for it, what do I need to, what does this entail? It can be challenging.
Why I think she needs to try it first.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're going to have to be very clear about communication, as Dark Boy said, is essential in this situation, because he's not going to be available for you to just pop up on him whenever you want. You know, it just doesn't work that way. That's not how this relationship is going to go. So you do need to be very clear about your expectations in this relationship. What do you need from him? finding out what does he need from you to make this work. Because you could start this thing and it could continue and neither of you could be particularly happy because neither of you is getting what you want from the other because you haven't communicated it. So I think one of the things that you have to do is do your homework, not only on him, but on yourself. And if he's just not that thoughtful guy that's kind of studying you to figure out, you know, how to really make this thing work and to make sure that you're, it, you know, maybe not peak happy at all times, but certainly that you feel appreciated and you feel seen and heard, then you might have to help him do some of that homework and drop some hints and be very clear about what it is you want or what you expected or what would have been nice to have experienced. And I found that in my somewhat long distance relationship, because frankly, in LA County, you know, we're in Long Beach, dating someone in downtown LA can be considered a long distance relationship because you just ain't going up there every day, you know. And so be like, I will see you on the weekend. So it's kind of like a long distance relationship. Definitely communication was a huge factor, and I don't think we communicated as nearly as effectively as we needed to. You know, he would often ask questions of me that they weren't like the true question. They weren't what he really wanted to know. It was almost like this veiled thing of, well, let me see what he gonna say. And I'm, you know, and of course he was routinely disappointed by my responses because I didn't know what he wanted. So, yeah, Jolene, I would say be very clear about what it is you want in a relationship and figure out whether or not a long-distance relationship is going to give that to you.
Yeah.
You know, how much time are you willing to invest before the two of you actually are in the same area with one another? When you look at your life, does he fit? Which I said before. You know, yeah, and what are you willing to potentially to sacrifice for this relationship?
Yeah.
But it's definitely possible. I mean, I know people that are in different states, different countries that are in relationship with one another. So it's certainly doable.
It's doable.
Yeah, by all means, it can be done. But you certainly will have to decide what makes it worth your while. So, yeah. And it also requires a lot of trust because you ain't going to be in a monitor.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. If you're prone to catastrophizing, and you might not want to do this. But okay. You can write us again, Jolene. Thank you.
Yes, let us know how that goes.
All right. So we gonna help a brother out?
Yes, we are. So, right. This one, we have to give him a name. I didn't come up with a name for him, and he didn't provide one.
I'm feeling very NCIS, so we're gonna call him Jethro.
Jethro. Okay. So yes. Jethro has just recently come to terms with the fact that he is bi, but he hasn't told anybody yet. Mm. He wants to tell his best friend. Now he didn't say his age. So to me, this is a younger person. He wants to tell his best friend because he's really a great guy and he knows for sure that he'll be accepting and supportive, which is ideal. Okay. Thing is that he's been in love with his best friend for 3 years.
Well, that's way down there.
But he doesn't know if the friend is gay or bisexual. So he wants to know, Jethro wants to know, should he tell the best friend that he's got feelings for him, you know, and say for, you know, just for the sake of honesty and all that. Or should he just keep quiet about that without not make it awkward?
Oh, okay.
See?
I was afraid. Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, Jethro, you just complicated this so much. Okay, so I'm guessing the best friend is gay then.
He does not know if he's gay or bisexual, which seems a little weird to me, but...
Wait, so Jethro doesn't know if his best friend is gay or bi?
Right.
Oh. That's spicy. Well, that's odd. Well, but actually, he doesn't know you're bi, so...
Well, yeah, that's...
But you haven't done any research over the years? Like, you don't know where he's sticking it or nothing? Okay. All right, so Jethro, okay, you cannot, just by the nature of prototypical masculinity, you cannot tell this guy that, oh yeah, I'm in love with you, unless you know that's the team he plays on. Because right. That's just going to be Weirdsville. I mean, and he may be totally cool about it, and your friendship may be unaffected, but there's a good chance it's going to be affected. I think the first step for you is really just kind of coming out to him.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious that you're compelled to do that. And it sounds like it's just something that's in the best interest of your relationship and in the best interest of your emotional health. Now, if it's a double coming out ceremony where he, in fact, confesses that, you know, he is, in fact, gay as well, you know, kind of read the body language, engage the situation to see whether or not, you know, he might be intrigued. But I think that even before all that, because I don't want to just make it purely sexual, I think you really have to recognize, like, are you truly in love with the guy, or are you just intrigued by his form? And, you know, and it's not to say that you can't be in love with him, because I, you know, that's entirely possible, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the reasons people are our closest friends is because we are in love with them in some way, or we just totally see them and we're like, you are a really awesome person. You good husband material, you know. So I don't know if you want to rush in there full on like, oh, and by the way, I'm in love. No, don't do that now. And I think even if he does kind of rest, you know, even if he does kind of agree like, oh, yeah, I have some feeling for you as well, y'all need to have a serious talk. Because there is something at risk here, and it is your friendship,
yeah,
which is clearly very important to both of you. You know, so don't let penis come between you. you know,
literally, right?
Literally, yes. You know, it's a wonderful thing and all, but sex can really complicate a friendship. It just can and does. So I think you really need to decide what you guys are going to be to one another. But first, you need to actually be honest with him about, you know, who you are, what direction your life is going to take. And you may want to reveal your attraction at a later time. If that makes any sense. I don't know if it's the best time to drop the double whammy on the guy.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should just come out first. And then, just like you said, just kind of feel what the vibe is. Mm-hmm. And, because, you know, he may not be gay. He may not be gay or bi. And so, mm-hmm. I think you could at least get your, you know, be honest and with him and not feel like you're hiding something, and you could do that and still continue your friendship. But I do think it's a little too much to think that you're going to go from best friends who didn't know each other's sexual orientation to now going on to, you know, boyfriend or lovers or whatever name you want to put on there. So I think you just have to come out first. And coming out may be the only, I mean, you know, thing. There may not be anything after that besides just continuing of the friendship. So I think that's all I got for Jethro.
Yeah, I definitely agree with your advice to Jethro. And I would just also remind or caution you to, As a mutual friend of ours once said, you know, when I met this man that's now my husband, I knew he was the one immediately, but a friend of mine said to hold my horses because I'm going to run him off, which I could totally see happening, by the way. And so I would say to you that heed that advice. You know, maybe it's a long game. Because obviously, if you're not even sure what his sexual orientation is, it's like, is he not dating anyone at all?
Well, see, that's what I thought too. So,
yeah, I'm like, it sounds like there, you know, it may be a process, of really figuring out, like, what this guy wants. And
because, like, how do you not know after all this time, at least, or have some kind of a
an inkling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, that's what I don't get. I'm like, well, so, wait a minute.
But then part of me thinks like, well, if he hasn't said anything, because again, I was that way. I mean, I was, you know, that way too. I wasn't ready to come out to anybody, but I didn't, you know, I didn't go pretending. I didn't go on dates or anything like that. But I just was, it was easy for me to just make it kind of like an off-limits subject, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just
now, I don't know how people, how many people really truly believed that I was straight, but you know, it just was never anything that came up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least not with, not while I was, not in my presence anyway. So. So maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe you don't know because maybe he's, you know, not ready to tell people too. So, but I still think it should just be a coming out and not. Coming out and then jumping into a relationship or trying to jump into a relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you guys probably need a little more time to kind of figure out what this is going to be. But I think one step at a time, you need to figure out. Well, and I mean, yeah, I'm not even going to get into that. But I'll just say that. Take the first step of you just kind of having your first coming out experience, I assume, and let him be your friend right now. Don't try to make him into anything else. Let him be your friend right now, and I think you'll be all right. Whew, okay.
All right, that's all I had for him.
Yeah, that's all I got for Dear Jethro as well.
All right. So anybody that needs to send us a letter, like us to read it over the podcast, go ahead and send us an email to sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. That's for Help a Brother Out or Ask Skipper Stuff.
Those are true statements.
Yes.
And if you want to be in touch with us, you can certainly reach us through our Facebook page, which is Sexual Healing From Top to Bottom. You can also reach out to us on Twitter, which is a place that I'm strangely in every day now. Go figure. I never thought that would happen. But this is the age of digital marketing.
Exactly.
And we are at Pod Sexual. That is our tag there. And Instagram, which is our redheaded stepchild, we are also Sexual Healing Pod there. Like, my brother can only do so much. I got a business to run. So,
right.
So Twitter and Facebook are your best bets. I don't do a lot for the gram. I'll put it that way. But, yeah, so definitely reach out. If you have a question that you want to raise in that forum, you're welcome to do so. But we want to be in dialogue. So we hope to hear from you. And as always, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Share us with a friend, and rate us on our Apple Podcasts. We could use some ratings,
yes,
just to get the word out there about our show, which we think is pretty wonderful. And also want to give big ups to our podcasting colleague, Trulificent, over at Gayside Stories and Ratchet Ramblings, two of my favorite podcasts. He has created a new website and hashtag. It's called Pods by BY QPOC, which stands for Queer People of Color. So it's PODSBYP. QPOC. The struggle remains real.
Yeah, and you can that's a struggle.
Yeah, the headache, it just will not go away. And so you can also access a directory. If you want to hear podcast content by queer people of color or featuring queer people of color, you can navigate over to www.podsbyqpoc.com and check out what's going on there. And if you are a content provider who happens to be queer and of color, then register your show there.
Yes.
And hopefully your tribe will find you. So that is all the advice we have for this week. We've enjoyed hanging out with you. Hopefully you've enjoyed your time with us. And we will talk with you next week with episode 24, I believe.
Yes. Oh, we have to apologize for last week. We had some scheduling difficulties.
Right.
We couldn't pull it together. So.
Ooh, last week, we're sorry. It was life just said nah between the wedding. And I think you had your Saturday, well, yeah, it was at the wedding, but then your Sunday, you had family visiting.
Yes.
And during the week, it was buck wild. We just...
Yeah. Couldn't get it together.
Yeah, we could not find an hour where the two of us could sit at our computers and record together. So we apologize. I know my cousin's girlfriend, she was like, "What's wrong with you? I didn't get my show." I said, "Ooh, stop it." So, yeah. It's just... So she'll hear this, but yeah, she always looks at me like, where the show? I said, "It's coming. It's coming." So yeah. So we apologize for anyone that that missed us and we're just a critical part of your week. But yeah, so, and you might be like, "Whatever, we ain't thinking about y'all."
Right.
Whatever the case is, we didn't get a show out last week and we were really bummed about that. It just wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah.
But all right. So, any closing words for the crew?
I am done. I have to say, just be good to everybody. Be good to yourself.
That's it. Be a good blessing and not a curse.
You're right.
That's my closing, you know, seemingly every week now. So I'm just going to make it my phrase.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Y'all have a good week. Keep it sexy. Keep it healing.
Yep.
That's what life's about.
Until next time.
Until.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.